Canada Land, funded by you.
I'm Jesse Brown, and today we are talking shit about the news. We'll talk about MAGA's top talent coming to work for a BC mining company. We'll talk about Ben Mulrooney interviewing his mother, Mila Mulrooney, about his dad, Brian Mulrooney, and his sister, Caroline Mulrooney, on the news. But mostly, we'll talk about the incel shooter in Montreal and why the media hid the anti-Zionist stuff in his manifesto from the public.
His railings against society,
encouraging citizens to shoot police officers.
Some very violent imagery as well.
Wait for that. Columnist for the National Post and sleepy father of a two-week-old newborn, Raheem Mohammed, thank you very much for being on the show.
Sure. I guess now that I'm a dad equipped with dad jokes, I'm a pundit.
God help us all.
We begin with that shooting in the heart of Montreal.
Around 11:15 this morning in the Côte des Neiges neighborhood, police were responding to a 911 call at a hotel where there were reports of a gun being seen sticking out of a window.
One officer, a civilian, and the suspect were killed when an exchange of gunfire broke out.
Tragic events that unfolded today have deeply shaken the people of Montreal.
It's a very, very sad day. It's a nightmare.
And we are now learning more about a possible motive.
There have also been several media reports concerning a 105-page manifesto that has been linked to the shooting that allegedly has been encouraging citizens to shoot police officers. As well, it expresses a hatred toward women and spoke of the incel movement.
Raheem, a terrible thing happened earlier this week on Monday in Montreal, and three people are dead. And I can scarcely think of a tragedy like this that the public has been more misinformed about. The coverage of this has been terrible. And I want to track exactly how this all went down and how we got to clarity about it. And I think because the coverage was so misinforming, people are still very confused, even as we have a lot more clarity about this now. Were you following along as this unfolded?
I was. Yeah. To give them some grace, it was a challenging thing for folks to piece together with things going on in real time. But yeah, I do feel like there were some interesting choices made that muddied the waters even further.
Yeah, I don't want to simply heap scorn on media for getting this wrong, because I think it's really worth figuring out why they withheld information and I think even skewed information from the public, because there are reasons behind that. And we're not going to understand what failed if we don't actually get into those reasons. So, all right. On Monday, June 22nd in the morning, I found out through texts from people in Montreal that there was an active shooter situation. And as soon as I heard that this was in Côte des Neiges, the thought crossed my mind, oh God, I hope that this isn't targeting the Jewish community. There is a Jewish community there. And I know a lot of those people. So the usual thoughts of concern for friends and loved ones. And then the first pictures that I received were from an account called Leviathan on Twitter, which I don't think we've spoken about much before. Are you familiar with this account?
No.
So this Leviathan account is an anonymous Twitter account that is very well known amongst anti-Zionist protesters, the anti-Zionist movement. It's very well known amongst Jews. And what this account does is it uses OSINT, like open source intelligence, to, some people would say, dox, but reveal the identities of people in the anti-Zionist movement who have said pro-Hamas or anti-Jewish things. So essentially, on a typical day, the Leviathan account will say, here's an anonymous Instagram, Twitter account that loves Hamas and thinks that all Jews should die. I figured out who it belongs to. It belongs to this woman who's a nurse in Guelph. And this is all through public documents. And this is a notice of public safety to Jews in Guelph. You probably don't want this woman as your nurse. And then often 3 days later, he'll boast that the hospital has fired the nurse. Okay? So make of that what you will. A lot of Jewish people appreciate knowing these things. A lot of anti-Zionists despise this account for getting people fired for what they see as their advocacy. That's the Leviathan account. The Leviathan account also tweets a lot of Islamophobic hate stuff. very problematic account, but also an account that is doing work that arguably helps people understand who hates them and might be keeping people safe. We live in complicated times. I present this for informational purposes. That is what the Leviathan account is. And the Leviathan account was where I first saw videos of this shooting. I don't know if it was the first place it was posted. I don't know if the people who shot the videos in Montreal were providing the videos to the Leviathan account, or if they were posted elsewhere and Leviathan was scraping it and putting his watermark on it, or her watermark on it, or their watermark on it and posting it. I don't know. But that's where I saw the footage of this standoff, the shooting. There was two police officers crouched by this like high-rise building. One of the police officers I watched as he was shot and lies there in blood. Later that was removed. Leviathan account removed that so that the family didn't see this first through the account after first posting it. And then you see the body of what turned out to be the shooter, this guy in camouflage, who I believe we know now that he was shot by the cops. I think he was firing reportedly, it was a bit murky, but he was firing at a building, a company called ALO, which is the holding company for Pornhub. But I didn't learn that till later. And the other thing I saw in these videos was this female cop who is crouched, hiding for cover beside the body of her colleague, and somebody runs past. It turns out it's an innocent bystander trying to get away. And what I saw in that video is this female cop turn around. As far as I can tell from the footage, she shoots this guy at point-blank range, I think confusing him with the shooter. And that person, I understand, was an innocent bystander named Michael Mizrahi. Did you see any of this stuff?
Honestly, the first I saw of it was a really unhinged tweet from the leader of Quebec's Green Party. I think Alex Terrell, who kind of did a blow-by-blow of what he viewed from the security footage, turned it into weirdly, hey, we have to root out systemic racism and bias within Montreal's police. So I found myself really scratching my head at that. And I'll add that this is about as shitty as it could have gone down. But the other individual involved was a female cop. And you're already getting these stupid things like when there's a female cop or a female Secret Service officer involved in one of these snafus, it becomes this dumb DEI conversation. So you had it when Trump got shot in the ear.
Yeah.
I guess there was a female Secret Service officer that was shorter than him that rushed him. Everything about this is just so unfortunate and just so tragic. And it seems almost calibrated for the worst people on the internet to all be able to construct their preferred narrative out of this. And it's just so tragic along all lines.
Yeah. And for clarity, these were idiots who were saying that's what you get for letting women be cops, is this tragic killing of the bystander. I think that right from the beginning, people were seeing this through the lens of whatever their issue is, whatever their cause is, and trying to leverage this tragedy for whatever it is that they most care about, or trying to furiously deny that this lends credibility to somebody else's cause or lens. That was happening right from the beginning. And before anyone knew anything, I saw a lot of people who were ferociously denying that they're, you know, like, well, this isn't actually a Jewish neighborhood. I think that the message of like, let's not jump to conclusions is a good one. But I also think that like, let's shut this down as a line of inquiry was also a weird impulse.
So just to jump in, I saw one of the really weird tweets that was trying to debunk that it was a Jewish neighborhood by linguistic demographics, and that French and English were the top languages. Was I supposed to see Yiddish in there? Like, I was so confused by what that individual or account was trying to convey. Like, whether the linguistic demographics have anything to do with that. Is Yiddish something that people on censuses take account of? And it was just so odd to me.
It was very ignorant. This happens every time, Raheem. Like, when Jewish neighborhoods are targeted, people are like, well, the Jews are only 15% of that neighborhood. I'm like, we're not claiming the neighborhood as we own it. It's Jews are 1% of the Canadian population. If there's a neighborhood that has 15%, that's a Jewish neighborhood. It might also be a Filipino neighborhood. And as we start to get actual news reports that the shooter came from Alberta.
Well, the latest details, of course, are the identity of the alleged shooter just released minutes ago by the Quebec Coroner's Office. Seth Scott Hadfield from Lethbridge, Alberta, is the person who has been identified.
And as we got news reports on the guy who was killed, Michael Mizrahi.
The civilian who died has been identified by a number of sources as Michael Mizrahi.
I'm thinking like, all right, I'm not going to jump in with a hot take here, but I'm very concerned here. You drove from Alberta to Côte-de-Neige And if you were to just randomly kill a Canadian, or a Canadian gets killed as a result of your actions, there's only a 1 in 100 chance that it's a Jew. And the guy who got killed is a Jew. So I'm like, I got to wait and see here, but this is definitely raising some flags for me. But then as the news reports came out, they didn't mention anything about that. We heard the killer is from Alberta. We read that he circulated a manifesto to certain media.
That 104-page manifesto, which was sent to media yesterday, has a lot of details about kind of his railings against society, against what he believes are the wrongs of society, some very violent imagery as well.
But they weren't publishing the manifesto. According to the Canadian press, fallen Montreal officer identified amid warning of possible anti-police manifesto. And then the term incel started to get around, that this was an incel killing.
Our colleagues at Radio Canada are also reporting that the suspect left a manifesto that expresses beliefs associated with the incel movement. Incel is short for involuntary celibate. This is an often violent, misogynistic ideology where men blame women for their sexual frustrations.
And what came to mind for me was the Manassian killing, where this guy was out to kill women and drove a van into a crowd of innocents in Toronto years ago, with a target of killing as many women as possible. So that's where my mind was taken. Like, oh, this guy was a misogynist killer who was trying to kill as many women. Is that what this was? Why can't I read the manifesto and find out for myself? That's what the early reports were giving me.
Yeah, and speaking of an Alberta Jewish connection, I think it was really interesting to see Sheila Gunn-Reid of Rebel News, and I'm going to maybe put news in scare quotes to her credit, getting her hands on the manifesto and putting it forward. And it was interesting to see you give a bit of a nod to her, but I slogged through the first 30 or so pages of the manifesto. And the most shocking thing about it is this guy was on the dean's list, I think, at the University of Lethbridge. I mean, it seems like kind of a slob first year philosophy paper where he's read the first 50 pages of the Communist Manifesto and he's trying to use it to explain why he can't get laid. So, you know, just kind of reading that manifesto, I feel like if you were to choose to put any kind of label, it would be hard to do that without cherry picking, because it was kind of all over the place. You could call it an anti-bourgeois manifesto, an anti-hypergamy manifesto. I think there were insinuations of the detrimental role of pornography in society and some anti-Semitic tropes there. So it was all over the place. It was by no means any kind of coherent theory of why he perpetrated the actions he did. And I think labeling the manifesto one way or another as anti-cop or incel, I think any of that would take some sort of motivated reasoning.
I don't know about that. It's slop for sure, and it's idiotic, and it's paranoid, and I'm not saying anything in the defense of this nonsense, but I recognize this. I know where he's coming from and where he's getting these ideas because, you know, I've been in the culture and in news as this manosphere thing has taken root, as incel murders have become more and more common. I'm not going to pretend like, what the hell is this nonsense? I know exactly when the Rebel acquired and published this, and I will credit them for that. There's many documented years of problems with the Rebel leading up to this, and there are problems with the way that they published this, which I'll get into as well. But the fact that they published this when other media were like actively withholding aspects of this from the public was a good thing, so we could see for ourselves what the hell this was, what motivated it, for the most basic reasons of, like, people have a right to be safe and to know what is threatening them and who is trying to kill them and why, right? We have to know this stuff. I don't need somebody in between trying to shield me from this stuff. There's reasons why I think they did that. I think that it does end with a call for other people to do what he did. And I think that the media has responsible conversations about whether or not, in publishing this manifesto, are we inspiring more copycat murderers? Because this is a terrible piece of writing that the only reason why anybody would read it, he had to kill people to get people to care about his ideas.
Yeah. You can go back to Elliot Rodger just over a decade ago. I think there have been sexually frustrated young men in their 20s committing random acts of violence from time immemorial. But the first branded incel killer was Elliot Rodger.
Elliot Rodger left disturbing hints, starting with those chilling YouTube videos and this 141-page manifesto detailing the troubled life of an alleged killer, from childhood bullying, sibling rivalry, fantasies about killing his father and stepmother, and his most repeated grievance being rejected by women.
I think media norms in terms of covering and sensationalizing this sort of thing were different back in 2014 when it happened. And I think, unfortunately, Elliot Rodger to this day, he's held up as some kind of paragon of virtue in some of the dingier corners of the manosphere. So that's the sort of thing you want to prevent. And I think coverage is tricky. You don't want to give these folks what they want. You don't want to give them fame. there is the challenge of potential contagion and copycat shooting. So I don't want to pretend that any of this, especially given the narrow time window and the pressure under which outlets we're facing, I don't want to pretend as though any of these things are easy judgment calls, but I would agree with you as to, okay, it seems there were quite a few errors made.
Okay, stick around because after the break, we will talk more about what is actually in the shooter's manifesto, and we'll talk about some of the misinformation surrounding it. I don't see a harm in just doing our jobs and telling people what the hell happened and why. I'm not afraid of this guy's dumb ideas, so I'm happy to tell people what his dumb ideas are. And they're not that hard to understand or to communicate. I'll do my best here. I'll try to do it even fairly to it. I think people should conclude for themselves how stupid this is ultimately. So anyhow, what he hates first and foremost is society as a capitalist society, society as Western society, our current system that puts us in competition with each other, puts men in competition with each other, and leads to what comes up a lot is not monogamy, hypergamy. Okay, that's where he gets hypergamy from, okay? That everybody is just having too much sex without being faithful to their partner, and it's all done transactionally, that women are told that they should be going for guys who are attractive and tall. All of this is leading to his sorry lot in life. The biggest victim of this is the common male, who should not blame himself for his loneliness, isolation, lack of sex. He sees sex as this transactional thing because capitalism has turned sex into a transactional thing. He hates pornography, and he rails against bourgeois society. Make no mistake, he writes, the most voiceless, exploited, marginalized, forgotten, despised, abandoned, and oppressed group within Western society is objectively and undeniably common males, not women, not homosexuals, not black people, but simply dispossessed proletarian males. So he rails against hip-hop culture. He's not into immigration. People are trying to place him left or right. It's not that hard to locate him.
Although it's interesting because he says early in the manifesto that he wants it translated into Farsi and Hindi and Mandarin Chinese, and he wants these ideas disseminated outside the West. I found it kind of all over the place in that respect. He also did mention that the chosen males, the kind of more sexually preferable males, and these Caucasianoid, they're either white or have Caucasianoid features. So there's some weird racial stuff going on.
It's weird, but it all comes from the incel culture where they're trying to break down this sexual marketplace as to what is a trait that gets you laid. And so it's not necessarily that he's a super racist, but he's sort of like observing that our society favors Caucasian features. I didn't take from this that this guy's like a raging bigot necessarily. Though he writes very hatefully about women, who he calls whores at different times, his target is not like, I'm going to go kill as many women as possible. And by the way, his primary target, he's not like, I need to kill Jews, but he does have this list of his class A targets. Basically, it ends with a call to violence, which is one of the reasons why I think the media would have second thoughts about publishing this thing. And the antidote to this terrible situation we're in is targeting elites, killing people who are most responsible for this in the class A target section. Then he's got a class B target section where he goes after degenerates and scumbags. And really, as he describes this, he's describing like rappers. He hates hip hop.
There was a clear reference to Andrew Tate because he talked about some of the Chad types that abuse their privilege and get into sex trafficking. That, to me, felt very like Tate Brothers. It was a very inside the internet thing.
It is. And this is a common trajectory where the incels go from like, I'm involuntarily celibate, I need to do something about it. And then there's this whole industry he calls swindlers and pimps. So he says pickup artists should be killed. You go through this phase of the guys who are going to tell you that you need to actually get in the game and compete, and you've got to better yourself and do mind tricks and neg women.
That was the state of play for guys who couldn't get laid when I was in my early 20s. Do you remember that mystery guy with the big hat?
Sure. The pickup artist guys. So it morphed past that to this kind of nihilistic thing of these guys saying, fuck that, I'm black-pilled now. This is all part of internet culture, like hyper-online incel culture. And yes, it does implicate Zionists. Now, he makes a point that, like, he's like, well, there are many Jews who are a part of communism and should be lauded for their opposition. But he says, there was amongst the Western bourgeois class many Jews who, in their newly acquired power, immediately set about creating the State of Israel, which became essentially a kind of base from which they were to assist in the expansion of capitalism, which he calls evil, cruel, and brutal. And then he lists under his valid targets, class A targets for liquidation, influential Zionists. So it is absolutely accurate to call this guy a murderous anti-Zionist who is calling for Zionists to be killed. That's part of his whole thing.
It's a hugely unfortunate detail, and I'm hesitant to bring it up here because it means nothing about anything, but it's a hugely unfortunate detail that the guy who runs ALO, the company where Pornhub is under the umbrella, happens to be an ordained rabbi, which means nothing about anything. But if you're trying to pull these strings, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't think that he went to Cote d'Nez because a lot of Jews live there. It still is an assumption. It's not 100% confirmed. But in the manifesto, he does rail against pornographers. And he says pornography companies should be targeted. CEOs should be targeted. And there he is at the headquarters of ALO, which is Pornhub. If he was trying to kill the CEO of Pornhub or Pornhub employees or targeting Pornhub, which I'm pretty damn sure he was, I don't necessarily think it's because they were Jewish. However, he does think that influential Zionists should be killed.
I'm actually a little confused about where porn fits into his theory. And granted, I haven't read the entire thing. I got through about 35 pages.
I sadly have. And he writes with this furious anger that if your first sexual experience is masturbating to images of these men who society considers to be better than you, sodomizing women, then you have the pornographer in bourgeois society to blame. So basically, he blames pornography for, I think he calls it vegetizing his preferred sympathetic character, which is him, the poor, oppressed, involuntarily celibate man.
In this theory, isn't it pornography and video games? Aren't they the only things that give this poor underclass of proletarian males any sort of escape from the drudgery of it just...
Yeah, he has this passage that's like, even though video games are really fun, we shouldn't play them because they're narcotizing us when we should be out there calling for revolution. So to situate this and to give it some context beyond just the delusions of one really sick person, he is drawing from a lot of stuff and not just internet culture. There's a lot in here from Soviet ideology. Because the rebel's saying, oh, he's a radical leftist. And people are like, I don't understand this. How can he be a radical leftist if he hates trans people so much? Well, have you met Che Guevara? Are you familiar with FARC? Are you familiar with the PFLP? There is a very fascistic, traditionalist strain within a lot of like communist Soviet ideology that hates Zionism and that harkens back to some kind of golden age where men were men and women were women and we didn't have this bourgeois pornography making us degenerates. He didn't come up with this stuff himself. Right? That's the water that he's drinking.
Yeah. When people talk about how the USSR was so much better to Jews than Nazi Germany, I point out that I think Russian is the third or fourth most commonly spoken language in Israel. So clearly there was an impetus to move to greener pastures if you're Jewish in Russia and in kind of the Cold War era.
Yeah, I'm named after like a great uncle Shaya who fought for the Russians in World War I. And I think he died in a gulag. My family left Russia, parts of my family. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. The doctor's plot wasn't good for the Jews, Russia. The Soviet thing was very bad. So this guy, he goes on, who else is a good target? The headquarters of all corporations with ties to Zionism are fair game. He's murderously focused on Zionism amongst his other targets.
Curious, just broadly speaking, any theory of society that paint people as like this elaborate marionette show where someone's behind the curtain pulling the strings, doesn't it sort of need a group exactly like the Jews?
That's the thing, is that we're trapped in this catch-22 where I'm constantly accused and others are constantly accused, like, why are you making this about you? And I'm like, why are they making it about me? Like, all conspiracy theory paths lead to Jew. We're not the ones doing it. We don't want the attention. My other ancestor, my grandfather who moved to Canada, changed his name from Brunstein to Brown for a reason. So yeah, it's the fact that whatever path you are putting red threads together through, it just seems, I don't know if you saw the Manosphere documentary, like all those guys ended up concluding that the Jews were behind everything.
In fairness, it was a Burke that took out the Titanic. That's my one dad joke.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
One per episode.
So back to the media of it all. And after being in the unfortunate position of having to give the rebel their props for giving us the information, who actually told us the story of this? Leviathan and the rebel. That's how we know the actual facts. But they too misinformed people. And I caught them on this because there was quotes in the write-up of the manifesto in the rebel story that were much more anti-Jewish than what I found in the actual manifesto. There were these quotes that apparently the manifesto, we were told by Sheila Gunn Reid, wrote, quote, Jewish interests dominate the levers of finance, media, and politics, and that this alleged influence is pervasive and corrosive. In another passage, Sheila Gunn Reid wrote, the manifesto says, quote, Zionist Jews have engineered a system that benefits them at the expense of all others and characterizes Western institutions as being captured by a Jewish elite. So we went to confirm that looking in the manifesto itself, and we couldn't find those quotes. And then I emailed Ezra Levant and Sheila, and I said, like, hey, thanks for publishing the manifesto, but I can't find these quotes. And then Ezra confirms, oh, damn, thank you, we got that wrong. That is almost certainly the result of an AI summary that the rebel ran on this. That's the AI telling the rebel what the rebel wanted to hear about this manifesto. And it's really unfortunate because now that's going to be looked upon as everybody's tilting this to their own agenda, right? And now that the rebel has published misinformation about what's in the manifesto, the truth that this manifesto does target Zionists will get dismissed by some as an error of the rebels or something like that. So cutting through the noise here is very difficult, but it is possible and it is necessary. I would also suggest, Raheem, that that newsroom conversation, should we publish this or not, or if we summarize it as opposed to publishing it, how do we summarize it? And then it gets summarized as an incel manifesto or an anti-cop manifesto, and nobody mentions the anti-Zionist thing. Would that happen if Canadian newsrooms had as many Jews in them as they did 3 years ago? And I know pretty much every name of Jews who left the Toronto Star, the CBC. That context there of why it's important to note that this guy did have Zionists in his crosshairs, somebody was not advocating for that to be properly summarized. Like, there was some institutional knowledge missing in those newsroom conversations.
Do you feel like there's a level of denial in Canada of the level to which anti-Zionism has pervaded the social fabric? Because I think it contradicts this mosaic narrative. It contradicts a lot of things we like to tell ourselves about Canada. And is there forcefully a, no, this isn't about the Jews, when something like this comes up?
Every time. Reflexively, to Jews. And not only is there this denial, people who've deputized themselves, I'm going to be the one to tell everybody that this isn't about Jews, and that whether it's Jesse or 10 other people who are trying to document this, not only are we shouted over, but motives are ascribed. That the reason why I'm trying to make it about the Jews is because I'm trying to defend Israel. I really just don't want Jews to get killed in Canada. I'm trying to worry about my own safety, my family's safety, my community's safety, and I'm trying to do my job and tell people what's going on in this country. It's really not helpful. You can get gaslit to death. And it is not the role of journalists to tell me that this guy isn't gunning for Zionists before any of us know for sure whether that's true or not. I don't know why people think that's their job. And I also want to harken back to, like, all of this rush, what's his motive? Motives matter, intent matters. We need to know the motives and the intent, which is why I think we do need to publish the manifestos or at least summarize them accurately. But impact matters more, right? And for me, the takeaway from this, who cares ultimately what's in this guy's mind? I care about what the impact of what he did was. And I think that I don't want to reduce the casualties of this to a parable, but it is telling who ultimately suffered here. Whatever was in this guy's brain or what he was trying to, this maniac idea that he was going to change society, who ultimately got killed here? Who ultimately got killed here were a cop, Mohammed Lamin Ben Redwane, a innocent bystander, Michael Michael Moshe Mizrahi, who is a Canadian Lebanese Jew, and the third person dead is the killer himself. So here you got a guy, his intended target was not human, it was ideological. He wanted to destroy our way of living. He wanted to change it. He wanted to get rid of our capitalist, bourgeois, Zionist, degenerate, hypergamist society. In his fantasy, that's who he was killing and who he wants everybody else to go kill. He wants everyone to go kill a system. But in reality, he killed a Muslim, a Jew, and himself. Raheem, we duly note stories on this show because we don't want important news stories to be overlooked. We read them and we tell our listeners about them. Do you have something that you'd like to duly note?
Yes, our friend Christy Noem is taking some time away from her super special and very real job as special envoy to the Shield of the Americas, which is totally not a made-up job. She's actually lending her talents to, of all things, a copper mining company based in British Columbia. So the mining company, I'd never heard of them before, but Nova Red Mining bills itself as an early stage exploration company focused on assessing copper potential in BC. put out a press release last week saying that they were happy to be bringing on board Kristi Noem in a strategic advisory role to support their mission of acquiring and advancing critical mineral exploration opportunities through their artificial intelligence enhanced technology platform. Noem says, "I look forward to supporting the company's strategic objectives in an increasingly competitive global environment. Secure and reliable access to critical minerals has become an important economic and national security priority." So there you have it. Best wishes to Kristi Noem and her new gig. I look forward to seeing her around the British Columbia interior when I'm visiting family.
Raheem, you seem a little bit sarcastic there. You seem to have a dubious point of view as to why Kristi Noem, former Trump appointee who disgraced that administration through her handling of ICE.
Which is hard to do, by the way.
Yeah?
Like, imagine being so bad that you've disgraced the Trump administration.
Was a, I think deservedly so, a villain to most Americans and whose public profile became so toxic that even Trump said, okay, I've had enough of her, I'm getting rid of her. You seem to cast a skeptical gaze at the possibility that a BC mining company might just think that she's a talented individual in need of her services. There's a very good reason why they would hire Kristi Noem, for informing our listeners here. Can you think of why they would hire her?
She didn't assist in the plotting of a coup to like Chile or one of those countries with a lot of copper. I'm drawing a blank.
I just think that every refugee of the Trump administration, anybody who has a connection to Trump, does have a bright future ahead in some sort of consultancy role because people want to curry favor with this disgusting administration. And it's hard to know how to get an in. And so that's what you're selling if you're a former Trump person.
So do we have to count down the days until when Steve Bannon joins the board of Rogers? Is there just a press release that's on hold for when that day comes?
Let me check Twitter right now. Not yet. Not yet. Duly noted, Raheem. I want to duly note that part of my job is being mean to people who are nice to me. Listen, I have feelings. When somebody is kind and says nice things to me, I feel bad about criticizing them on the show, but it's my job. I've been criticizing and making fun of Ben Mulroney for a long time, and he recently has gotten in touch to say some very nice things, and it was really nice, and I sent him a nice note back, which makes me feel like something of a cad for what I'm about to say, but I care about my work, Raheem. Ben Mulroney has been very clear that he's not a journalist, and then he took a job as a journalist, as the anchor of Global News's politics show. And he's like not just not a journalist, he's got entanglements. He's a Mulroney. He likes the conservatives. He is a conservative. So why is he in this role? Is he in this role as a run-up to a political career? Is he in this role because he needs a job? I don't understand it. What I can tell you is that he is giving fodder to his critics because on the news, Raheem, on Global News, on their flagship politics show, Ben Mulroney interviewed his mom, Mila Mulroney, about his late father, Brian Mulroney, and his sister, Caroline Mulroney.
Mila Mulroney, mom, welcome.
Thank you. I think politics is a tough, tough, tough thing to hold.
And yet, Caroline, my sister,
yes.
She had a pretty big career in politics, but just ended. Have you spoken to Caroline about whether or not this is her final chapter in politics, as she closed the book entirely on politics?
I was sure you were going to ask me which one of my four children was my favorite.
I've done that before.
Yes, you have.
Not just Dad, but any politician's legacy. What should they be remembered for?
What was Dad's expression? I'm not doing it for headlines today.
I'm not doing it for good headlines in 30 days. I'm doing it to build a better Canada in 30 years.
And that's what was on the news.
Remember, like in the early days of COVID that we've all memory hold now, everyone was obsessed that Chris Cuomo, like a CNN anchor, was a brother of Andrew Cuomo, who was the governor of New York, and everyone just loved when they were on television together. I feel like that magic just doesn't transfer to Canada.
That's the first time I've heard the Cuomos described as magical.
Duly noted.
That's our show for today. Thank you for joining me. I can be emailed at jesse@canadaland.com. I'll read them. If you want a response from me or just to chat, become a Canada Land supporter and come chat with me on the Canada Land Discord. Raheem, where can people find you?
I'm at rmohammed_yao on both X and the blue one. I think I've got a baby registry still up somewhere on Amazon where there are a few unclaimed items. So if you're a fan, hey, why not check that out? And you can see my writing online at nationalpost.com or at newsstands, wherever the National Post is sold.
This episode is produced by James Nicholson. Our associate producer is Callan Lyons, who also did the fact check. Mixing and mastering by Imogen Sayers. Our senior production supervisor is Tristan Capicchione. I'm the editor and publisher of Canada Land. Our theme music is by So Called, and this episode is brought to you by our supporters, Christopher Hogendoorn, Hayden Slight, and David Hevenor. And I want you to join them and support Canada Land and have your name read on the show, or not, if you don't want to. You can choose that. But we rely on listeners to become supporters. That's the only way that we can make journalistic podcasts. It's the only way we're going to have journalism of any kind in Canada is if people pay for it. And we just festoon you with perks when you do this. We give you ad-free podcasts. We give you an exclusive podcast every month that nobody else gets. Discounts on our merch, tickets to our live events. We're traveling all over the country. Come on. Come on. Go to canadaland.com/join. Sign up right now. It's like the cost of a sandwich. Or click the link in the show notes.